The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 3 and 5. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In this series of studies, we have asked the question, what is regeneration or the new birth? From our previous studies, we have seen that various formulas are used in the New Testament to describe what is commonly called being born again. In the text which we have read, our Lord uses a term which means from above. Except a man be born from above. That is a spiritual birth that derives from God. Peter uses the term to be born again or born the second time. And this is evidently the way that Nicodemus understood it in the record before us. Can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Regeneration, being born again, being born from above, being a recipient of the new birth. Regeneration, as we prefer to call it, is a supernatural work of God within and upon the soul and personality of the sinner, making him a new creation in Christ Jesus. Regeneration, then, is the act of God. It is, as we would say theologically, monergistic. Mona, one, ergon, work, the work of one. It is the work of God. Conversion, however, is the responsibility of man. Conversion means repentance from sin and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The two twin graces of conversion, traditionally it is said, are repentance and faith. And if we carefully study the Word of God, we see that each of these is also God's gift. Regenerating grace, the truth of the Spirit of God working in the life and experience of the individual is manifested or evidenced in repentance or turning from sin and in faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Now these may be initial acts, and yet it is likewise true that when one becomes a true Christian by the grace of God, he enters into a state of repentance and into a state of faith. The Christian, the true believer, by the Word of God, continually repents of any and all known sin and is constantly increasing in and exercising faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What we must remember is this, and it is extremely important due to much of the false teaching that is abroad today. Regeneration, or the new birth, is God's part. Conversion, that is repentance and faith, are our part. Our Lord, in commanding the reality of regeneration to the conscience of Nicodemus, did not instruct him how to be born again or born from above, but simply declared its necessity. Ye must be born again. In this study, we have considered at length the conversation in John chapter 3 between our Lord and Nicodemus. We were impressed with this. Nicodemus came to our Lord not with a question, but with a statement. And our Lord in this interview seems to brush that statement aside. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The reality of the situation, we believe, is this. Nicodemus came to our Lord to have a religious conversation. He was at this time, evidently from the context, an old man. What was on his mind and heart was this. From viewing the miracles and hearing the teaching of our Lord, despite his Galilean accent, the force of the miracles confirmed to Nicodemus that this man was a teacher come from God. If anyone could tell him concerning the kingdom of God, its appearing, and perhaps even the appearance of the Messiah, this man, credentialed by the miracles, could do this very thing. Our Lord, knowing Nicodemus' heart then, spoke to this issue and faced him with the truth and reality of regeneration. This utterly devastated Nicodemus. Nicodemus anticipated an earthly kingdom. Nicodemus trusted in physical descent from Abraham. He bore the covenant sign of physical circumcision in the flesh. He anticipated an earthly kingdom with a political and a military Messiah. Being an old man, the great questions that burdened his soul were these. Will I live to see the kingdom of God among men? Might I even live to see the Messiah? The ministry of John the Baptist had had a powerful effect upon everyone. Messianic expectation was running high, and these things were on the heart and mind of Nicodemus, and our Lord speaks to these, rather than answer the flattery that Nicodemus had given to him in verse 2. We have considered in our study five realities which must occur in the life of every true believer, and these realities must be true at regeneration. The impartation of divine life. The breaking of the reigning power of sin. The removal of the natural heart enmity against God. The recreation of the image of God in principle, in righteousness, holiness of the truth and knowledge, and the removal of satanic blindness, that one might see, comprehend, and embrace the truth as it is in the gospel. In our last study, we began to open up to our understanding the metaphors or figures that the Word of God uses for regeneration or being born from above, being born again. Because this is, to a great extent, a mystery, the Lord has been pleased in His Word to reveal it to us under various figures. And we saw that regeneration is most commonly described as a spiritual birth. We noted yet again in our last study that regeneration is described as a quickening to spiritual life. Our major text was Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. In our present study, we shall note that regeneration, or the new birth, is described as a heart transplant. I'm using rather modern terminology, and yet the Bible very graphically in the Old Testament anticipates in Old Testament language the truth, the reality of the new or gospel covenant. Now I draw your attention to Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 through 27. When our Lord questions Nicodemus, He declared unto him, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And He found that Nicodemus, the more He explained the new birth to him, was at a complete loss as to its meaning. Our Lord then states, are you not the teacher of Israel, and these things you do not know? He devastated Nicodemus and took from him not only all of his religious presuppositions, but took his very reputation and devastated it. He implies that from his own scriptures, Nicodemus should have known the reality of being born of water and of the Spirit. We find this in Ezekiel chapter 36. And we read, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean." This refers to ceremonial cleanliness. It is the cleansing aspect of regeneration, and the water of separation prefigures the cleansing of the blood of Christ. The reason that some are regenerate and others are not, the very basis upon which the Holy Spirit enters the life of the believer to regenerate him, is on the virtue of the covenant death and suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood wounds of Calvary and the truth of the atonement stand at the very root cause of regeneration. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." This is Old Testament language, as we have said, which anticipates the new or gospel covenant and the truth of regeneration or being born from above. The same is true in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34, where the Lord declares that He will put His law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. This very passage is quoted in Hebrews chapter 8 as being fulfilled in the context of the new or gospel covenant. Again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we find another contrast between the old covenant and the new or gospel covenant. That under the old covenant, the law of God was written on tables of stone, external to the personality, a mere principle of outward command. But under the new covenant, God writes His laws afresh and anew upon the fleshly tables of the heart. The law of God, in other words, is internalized under the new or gospel covenant, and the personality is morally transformed by the Spirit and grace of God, so that there is a heart conformity in principle to be obedient to God's commands. The gospel of God's grace does not set aside the law of God. It is the administration of this law that has been changed from an external administration to an internal administration with the dynamic or power of God's Spirit and His grace. This is evident from Romans chapter 6. And verse 14, where we find an absolute statement, "Sin shall not have dominion over you. The reason is, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." The definite article is not in the original before the word law. "For ye are not under a mere principle of outward command, but you are under a principle of the inward dynamic of divine grace." The failure of the old covenant, as it were, its weakness, was that the law was externally given. And under the new or gospel covenant, the law is internalized by the grace and Spirit of God, and the heart and life are changed to conform in principle to that. That is a converted life as the manifestation of regeneration. There is no antinomian grace. One should never take this statement of Romans chapter 6 and verse 14 in what some would call a dispensational sense, as though once we were under law, but now we are under grace. Anyone who has ever been converted from the earliest dawn of human history to the present time has been saved by grace and kept by grace, and the personality has been dominated by grace, and there is an inward conformity to love and to keep God's truth and God's commandment. The heart of stone that is described in Ezekiel 36 is the unregenerate inner being, a cold, unresponsive, spiritually uncircumcised heart, as it were. The heart of flesh is the regenerate heart or inner being, living, responsive to God, responsive to His Word, and alive to spiritual realities. God will cause these in the new and gospel covenant to obey His commandments and to do His will. This is the operation of divine grace as a dynamic or power in the gospel covenant. And it is this inward grace which indeed the old covenant lacked as it was applied to the nation of Israel. For only a small remnant were indeed truly holy, truly godly, and truly righteous. Most were left with merely a ceremonial or external religion. This whole activity of Ezekiel 36 is predicated of God and His power. He cleanses, He renews, He enables. And this is certainly true in regeneration. There is a cleansing element. The water of purification finds its fulfillment or antitype in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He renews. There is a change of heart, the entrance of divine grace. There is an enablement that comes through the grace of God and the present indwelling ministry and power of God's Spirit. We must ask then, have we experienced this cleansing from sin and pollution? Do we have by God's grace a clear and clean conscience before God? Has our coldness to God been removed? Do we have this dynamic of grace within us? Do we have a true living heart in spiritual matters before God? Are we truly regenerate? Have we been born from above? The new birth, or being born from above, is not only a reality, it is the focal point and the all-encompassing reality of the Christian life and the basis of all true and valid Christian experience. We note in the fourth place now that regeneration is described as a passing from spiritual death to spiritual life, or a translation from one kingdom or power to another. I believe that this is anticipated in the first Psalm and in verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It reads, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The tree is contrasted in verse 3 with the chaff in verse 4. But the ungodly, if they are like anything at all, reads the Hebrew, they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Completely relativistic and without foundation or substance. He shall be like a tree planted by the water canals. This word translated planted is not the usual word in the Hebrew, which occurs many, many times. It is a word that is rarely used in the Old Testament, and it ought to be translated as transplanted. He shall be like a tree transplanted by the canals of water. He has been removed from his native environment and resituated and planted in the very choice soil of divine grace. It anticipates that truth of regeneration, which is described in the New Testament as a removal or transference. John chapter 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. But is passed, perfect tense in the original language, has literally crossed over into another realm and remains in that realm. Very strong wording in the original to describe the transference from one realm into another. He has completely crossed over and remains in that realm of spiritual life. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Literally, hath removed us from one realm into another, from the realm of the power of death and darkness, into the realm of the Son of His love. There is a transference from one kingdom into another. The contrast then in all of these passages is a transfer from one realm to another, from life, from death to life, from darkness to light, from one kingdom to another kingdom. It all implies a very powerful transference, transaction, and transition. The great and effectual power is that of God in regeneration, working within the life and within the personality. It is God who does the translating. It is God who possesses and exercises all the power and who performs all the work. We must then ask ourselves, such a powerful transaction, does our life manifest or evidence such a momentous change as passing from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God's love? Have we passed from spiritual death into spiritual life? Have we been translated from one kingdom to another? Is there the evidence in our life that we have been born from above, that we have been born again, that we are indeed regenerate individuals? Regeneration is the great focal point of spiritual transformation. It is the basis for all Christian experience. And we must remember, it is evidenced in a converted life. No conversion, no new birth. No changed life, no regeneration. Those whom God has transformed by His grace will infallibly and immediately evidence this great change, this great transformation in the beginnings of a converted life by turning from sin and in saving faith, turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, resting in His imputed righteousness and being reconciled to God through faith and through faith alone. Are you a converted person? Have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you resting by faith in His finished work, in His active obedience by where He kept the law and paid its penalty in His passive obedience? Have you been reconciled to God in the death and the life and the glory and the power of His Son? If not, look to Jesus Christ. Rest in Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.